Hey Podnuts, Corey here from Instant House Call. Whether you're a break fix tech who needs to provide remote support on demand without pre-installed software, or a managed service provider who wants to connect to unattended PCs anytime, Instant House Call makes remote support easy. I want to invite you to try Instant House Call free for yourself. Go to podnuts.com and click on the link in the show notes, then use the promo code PODNUTS. Instant House Call is the best remote support on earth. We can prove it. Try it free now and see for yourself.
Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 421, a show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. I'm your host, Jeff Hallisch. I'm joined today by Marvin B. from mbsystems.net. How you doing, Marvin?
I am doing great, Jeff.
Good. Glad to hear it. Hey, I heard you had some exciting stories about your business and different things that you got going on, and you want to talk about some tools that you're using in your business, which is saving you a ton of time.
Yep. Just thought it'd be nice to give the guys and gals out there some positive stories and something to strive for, I guess.
Awesome. Those are always good. We all need those. So go ahead and take it away. What do you got for us?
Okay. Well, first I'm going to start off by saying that part of how I got started with a lot of this stuff is just simply with referrals. And I mean, I would not have been able to grow my business at all without them. And I've had this version of my business since 1997. And I literally have probably only paid for one true advertisement. And that was a business card type ad in a golf tournament. And that's it. Everything else has been through word of mouth and referral. And I just recently got two referrals. And one of them was from a person that I knew even before I was doing full-time IT. And I've known him basically 20 years. He watched me get into the business, and he's kind of kept me around, you know, anytime he's needed some work done. And he just basically was at a place the other day, and somebody told him they needed some work. And you know what? He just simply gave my name. They called me. And it was something where that particular client, they had already been interviewing other IT techs. And because of the referral that this gentleman gave me, I walked in, did my little mini dog and pony show, and left and sent them my my estimate for the project. And within 5 minutes of me emailing that estimate, the lady called me and said, "I think we're good to go."
Nice.
And I said, "Really? Do you not have to consult?" She goes, "No, we were so positive that we were going to go with you. We just needed an estimate."
Wow. That's awesome.
That was just amazing. So I just wanted to say the power of the referral is huge. And I still depend on it today. So just wanted to get that out the way.
Yeah, definitely. Do good work and you will get rewarded for it.
Absolutely. One of the things I know that you and I've talked about in the past, and one of my newest toys is this Fluke. And this is it's not the granddaddy of the Fluke line, but it's close. This is the Fluke One Touch AT. And you know that I've gone through a lot of the Fluke tools. Right. Started off with, you know, the little micro tool. Started off with the original Fluke One Touch, the Fluke Etherscope. I've got the Cable IQ, which is the cable tester that I use whenever we're either installing cables or going after a company that's installed cables for us. I've got the Fluke AirCheck, which is the wireless tester that I can go in and analyze wireless environments on that. And basically, this bad boy is all of those rolled into one. And there's a couple of jobs that I've done recently that I just finally had to say, I've got to tell people about this tool. I will say, however, this is not something that is for the weak. This is going to cost some money. But I also want to say investing in your business is not a bad thing.
Right.
And the way that I can justify this is the type of tool that is the all-in-one network tester. It works great in the business environment. If you can put in some layer two switches into the client's environment, where you can do some little SNMP monitoring, some of the layer two switches will have some tools that will give you, you know, some Ethernet statistics, errors, broadcasts, and all of that stuff. But I've had this tool for probably 5 months, sitting on my bench, trying to figure out, what am I going to do with this thing? Playing with it, trying to figure out, how am I going to basically justify walking in and using this tool? So I walked into a client about 2 weeks ago that called me and said that they've been having trouble in their network. It's an office where they share space with about three or four other tenants. And this company actually sublets their space and their internet. And most of it's through Wi-Fi, but they've got a bunch of stations and some cubicles that they plug in. And what they've been running into is sometimes people come in and they can get a connection, but they can't get to the internet.
Oh, okay.
They couldn't figure out why. And they had a tech who had been trying to figure this out for 2 months.
Wow.
And so they finally got me to come in. So I said, let me take this puppy and plug it in. So I went in, talked to the gentleman for a few minutes, went through all the scenarios, tell me what happens, how people, you know, get disconnected or can't connect. And he went through and showed me on the desktop and, you know, with a notebook. So it took about 5 minutes to go through that. And, you know, here's our Wi-Fi passwords. You try to get on. I had my iPhone, went on there. Okay, surely. This puppy is both a wired and Wi-Fi analyzer.
Okay.
So I turned it on, left it on the very basic profile, plugged in the cable first because I wanted to see, you know, what the environment was supposed to be like. In really about 4 minutes, it had finished the testing and told me there was two DHCP servers on the network. And because they had a good smart switch, told me what port it was on.
Nice.
And I just looked at him and said, there's your problem. There's your device. And, oh, it's a Dell server. And he goes, oh, I don't have a Dell server here. I said, somebody does. So we went walking into the space. And what had happened was a couple of months ago, one of their tenants, they've got a cubicle space where they've got four computers set up. And they decided to throw a server in there. And the technician that put it in there was different from the technician that they were using for the suite. So he just came in, set up the server, left the same network scope, left his DHCP server. And basically what was happening is, depending on which connection was made, sometimes you got the right DHCP server and got internet. Other times you got this server and got no internet.
That's amazing. You know, it could have been a lot worse, too. Those things could have canceled each other out, and everybody could have lost their internet connection.
Yeah. But
yeah, that's – so that tool basically was able to narrow it down. Now, you said you had it plugged in Ethernet-wise?
Yes.
Okay. And that's so 4 minutes, and it narrowed it down instead of you having to go and check each and every station, switch, and everything that's in that building. It would have taken time.
Well, just the fact that normally I would bring in my laptop.
Okay.
That was less time that it would have taken me to pull my laptop out, turn it on, wait for it to boot up, get connected, and see what happened. And I still would have had no true analyzing tools to tell me. I would have had to load up software, which, you know, I've got some software that go out and do an inventory of the network, tell me the servers, tell me the workstations. I've got scanning tools that would go out and, okay, ping everything, tell me what's the switch and what's, you know, but that takes time. to get all that set up, to run the scans. This literally will do all of that in less than 5 minutes.
Now, even with your software tools, because I'm not real familiar with, you know, I do a lot of things manually still. Even with your software tools, when you're in an environment like that, even once it went out and took an inventory of what was going on, you still would have had to pore over some data to figure out, probably manually, by looking at things and seeing what exactly was going on in that network, right?
Yeah, because basically with the inventory software, you know, you've got to identify that you've got a router, that you've got a server, that you've got this. And then you have to go at that point, go, okay, what services are running on that server, on that router? Which one of them is the DHCP server? So with the Flute tools, I have found that it is just so much easier to plug the device in, let it do its own discovery, and it will tell you what servers, what services, everything that's running. And on this particular model, it actually will give you, it's set up to default to give me a wired switch, a wireless access point. And if you put in the SSID and the password, you can actually connect to it and do more analysis that way. But it will go out and tell you what the access points are that are available. Once it gets a switch, it will go out and look for the Internet Gateway, DHCP, DNS, and it'll start to try to identify all of your devices on the network. And you can set it up to do more tests where you can have it immediately go out and do a, you know, ping to a website to tell you if you've got, you know, internet access, both DHCP, TCP and ICMP test. You know, you can do either of those. I've got a couple of my networks where I've got an FTP server, I've got a mail server, so it will actually send an email out to test the mail server and will tell me if that's passed or not. And so these tests will have either a check mark, a yellow exclamation point saying pass or fail.
Okay.
And
wow.
You know, and it's a matter of, you know, there's going to be a lot of techs that will say, yeah, I can do that, I can do that. But I doubt any of them can say, I can do all of that in under 5 minutes.
Right. Exactly. So a normal job like that to find that Dell server, that problem, that was because it was throwing out another set of, you know, it was basically another DHCP server, which means it's serving IP addresses to all the workstations. And whenever you have two of those, they conflict. How long would it have taken somebody to do that normally?
Well, you know, if you're good, you know, it may take you 15 minutes.
Okay.
But I've seen it take techs, you know, an hour.
Right.
Because they can, you know, they get connected and they see they're connected to a DHCP server. So they're like, I'm connected. What's the problem?
Right.
And then they've got to do, you know, more analysis to find out, okay, well, I got to check my routes. I've got to check this. You know, if you don't have the tools, you know, set up, then you've got to go through and try to physically identify what's on the network. You know, and some people will say, well, you know, if you know there's a router and you know there's a server, then you can figure it out. The problem was I didn't know there was a server.
Sure.
And the gentleman was saying, we don't have anybody right. with a server. You know,
so he thought.
He didn't even know
that he had a server, that there was a server on premise. Yeah.
Yeah. but, you know, I mean, and, you know, I had planned on being there an hour and a half. But this tool, basically, I was in and out of there in 15 minutes, but I could still charge for the hour.
Right.
And say, look, this was advanced network diagnostics. And, you know, he was happy to pay me that hour, especially since they had been spending 2 months right before. Now, granted, 2 months is way too long to be solving an issue like this, even if you're doing it manually. I mean, if you've got to go through, if you've got to go through and check every single device, you should have seen there was a server there physically.
Right.
But for somebody like me, just walking into an environment, and you know, cubicles were closed and there's locked doors. And, you know, I didn't have to go and, you know, hey, can you let me in there for a second? I need right. to look at that machine. All I did was basically say, yep, there it is, this port. Where's this port? And we went straight to it. And it was nice.
Now, what did you ever find out what the tech that had been researching this for 2 months, what did he have to say?
Actually, no. They
is he still working there?
I don't know, but it was interesting because we called the tech that had put in the server.
Okay.
To tell him that he needs to change his information, and it was funny because he was like, "Okay, how do I?" I was like, "What do you mean? How do you do that?" And I said, "You can still do that stuff, but turn off your DHCP." And he's like, okay, so what do I do for DNS? I'm like, do I have to really tell you how to do your job?
Wow. So he came in, basically set up a server, and it was kind of like it was on a default setting, set it, forget it, and in and out, and I'm on my way.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, yeah. He said, I can get to the internet, so what else do you need?
Right. Hey, as long as I can get to the internet, we're good.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Now, okay, so... big question. I'm sure it's on everybody's mind.
Mm-hmm.
How much does that super tool cost?
Well, there's three flavors of this.
Okay.
And let's just say that the first flavor is $49.95.
Is it like $49.95?
No, $4,995.
Ooh. Okay. That's first flavor. Okay.
That's first flavor. And then it jumps up. There's actually, I think there's four models because they have it with, you know, just your basic LAN testing. This particular one is the granddaddy. It is the AT3000, and it comes with everything because I think the 1000 model is just wired. And then I think they have the 1500, which is Wi-Fi. I'll have to look that up to be sure I'm doing that. Then there's a 2000 that adds fiber.
Okay.
But not Wi-Fi. And then the 3000 has everything.
Now, what's the difference between – do you know the difference between what's going over a fiber network versus just a regular Ethernet?
Well, I can tell you this. Probably 90% of us aren't messing with fiber at all.
Okay.
Most of the time we deal with fibers when the internet provider brings in a fiber line. This is probably going to be for if you've got, you know, a school with two campuses, you know, 500 yards apart and you're going to connect them. You'll run a fiber connection in between those two campuses because your copper Cat 5 isn't rated for that sort of distance.
Right, right.
So that's the only time. I don't have any of my clients right now where I can say I can go in and test fiber.
Okay.
But if I do, I will have a tool that
there
does
you go.
That.
So now could somebody get away with the, you know, obviously you plug that one in. So somebody could probably get away with the, you know, lesser priced one and basically be able to go into a network, plug it in an Ethernet port, and they're going to get the same types of things for that network, correct?
Yeah. Okay. Your basic test you're going to get, you know, being able to just scan a network, get your servers, get your DNS, get your routers, identify all the stations, printers, you know, all that stuff. And for most of us, that's going to be absolutely fantastic. And in that sense, I don't know that, you know, $5,000, you know, worth in the investment for most of us. But for people like me, where, you know, I do get the opportunity to walk into some bigger businesses, some nice sized clients, and to walk in with a tool and be able to just plug it in, I don't have to ask them for, you know, hey, let me log on to a station, let me connect to your server.
Right.
No, I still can do that. I've got another client where I did do that because I can get, you know, a little bit more inventory because this isn't going to give you everything. It's not going to tell you, you know, your processor information, your memory and hard drive space on your stations or stuff like that. It's just going to tell you, you know, how many devices are on the network, what types of devices. I am also going to be getting a companion to this that will allow me to do packet testing and generate traffic. I've got a couple of clients where they're in, let's see, I've got one client with 6 offices and one with 8 offices. And so I can send a companion tool over to one of the branch offices and I can test the WAN traffic back and forth.
Nice. Okay.
So, you know, this will be something that I can take in and, you know, we can say, you know, is it the network or is it something else? And gotcha. I can look at them and say, you know, physically your network is fine. We can generate this much traffic. There's a lot of stuff that these things can do for the next level, I should say. And that's pretty much what I'm gearing towards because I want to be able to walk into those clients and get that information, diagnose their network issues fast.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. How many computers and workstations did they have at that facility? Because you said they were renting the space out to several different businesses, right?
Yeah. Oh, the one that I. What's funny is it was really only about, I think it was about 15 desktops and a few laptops, maybe at any given time up to 10 laptops.
Okay.
I mean, it's, you know, it was a good size network for a lot of people, but not huge.
Shoot, that's what I have here.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
You can probably turn around.
Exactly.
I've got 2 DHCP servers right there.
I've got, anywhere from 17 to 27 devices connected at any one time to my network. But yeah.
Well, I can tell you this, and I did use this again in another scenario where I've got a client that's got, at that location, they have 45 stations for their office. They too are sharing space where they are leasing out offices to, it's a law firm and they're leasing out space to a reporting firm and another law firm. So total, there's about, 70 stations in there.
Okay.
They've got, probably 9 or 10 network-based printers. My client alone has 4 wireless access points in there, and they've got 7 servers.
Okay.
So we've got a lot going on in that environment, and it's an entire floor of an office building. And I did get an alert that one of the servers was down, and I called over, and they actually have a tech on site that takes care of, the desktops and little stuff, but he doesn't touch the servers.
Okay.
So I had gotten an alert because I've got Max Focus. The server went down, tried to connect, couldn't figure out what it was, called over there and said, okay, I've got a server down. Can you tell me what's going on? So I walked over, looked at it, and it said duplicate IP address.
Ah.
And he had no tool. Now, a lot of people probably have scanning tools that they can go out and sometimes detect what the duplicate machine is. But an environment that big, probably going to take some time.
Yeah, so, I just think about, sometimes, okay, let's disconnect this one. Nope, it's not that one. Okay, let's disconnect this. Nope, it's not that one. It's like, unless you have proper tools for doing that, there's a lot of process to go through manually to get the same job done.
Right. Well, and the harder thing, and I used to use just some little network scanning tools that I had on an admin station. And the problem is if there's a duplicate, you don't see either.
Right.
On the network. So, it's hard to find out where it is if you can't even see it. But with this device, I actually walked in, plugged it in, and this is an environment where I do have it set up for both wired and Wi-Fi. And basically ran the tool and told me exactly what the MAC address was of the machine that was the offender.
Right.
Did a path analysis because they have layer 2 switches and led me right to, it was actually a wired, a Wi-Fi access point.
And before you go on, what is a layer 2 switch?
I'm probably not the one to explain it.
Well, what's just the basis of it? I know what a managed switch is.
It is a managed switch.
Okay. That's basically, okay.
Yeah. And you've got your basic switches that are just, dumb traffic signals is what I tell people. It's going to let traffic go through.
In and out. Yeah.
And it's not going to tell you anything about it. And then you've got the smart switches, which is kind of a hybrid between the dumb switch and the managed switch, where it might give it might be able to tell you how much traffic is on a port and if there are any errors being, transmitted from, a machine or device on the network. The managed switches is going to give you a whole lot more information. And that's, it starts at a layer 2 and moves up.
Okay.
And most of us are only familiar with layer 2 switches because the other switches are just downright too expensive to get.
Okay.
But for these clients, I'm able to get them to pay for a layer 2 switch. And the difference, in a 48 port layer 2 switch is, they're paying, $1,000, $1,200 for this switch.
Right.
But with the sole reason of I can plug in these devices and I can tell which port is generating the most traffic. I can get SNMP information on how long your device has been up. I can tell if there's errors, being broadcast on the network. And I can literally drill down to the port, even if it's going through multiple switches. It'll tell me, from switch to switch to switch to jack where that device is. And that's gotcha. What I did. That's what I did when I found this duplicate IP address. And we, in their access points, I set up networks with Wi-Fi in two different ways. Some of them I set up to where when somebody accesses the Wi-Fi, they get the same IP address scope as the wired network. So that, they come in, throw a netbook, notebook on the network. They get a 192.168.1, just like everybody else. Okay. They have access to printers and stuff like that.
Gotcha. Yes. Okay. I can see that.
Other networks, I set it up to where the Wi-Fi is a completely different subnet and they cannot see the local internet, the local network. Open mesh routers is probably going to be the routers I use going forward because I can do both because it'll give a public and a private SSID. And I can set up the public to be completely different IP address scheme, can't see the local network. We can actually limit the bandwidth that a device can use on the Wi-Fi.
Okay.
With that. And then somebody connecting on the private network can get an IP address on the same side. And then they can, print to the devices and all of that stuff.
Very cool. So the mesh network stuff does both, you said?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, simultaneously out of the same box, basically?
Simultaneously.
Wow. I know Martin Obando uses those for a couple of places that he supports. And he's talked about it. I'm definitely going to have to check that out. Because I ran into that issue even here where I wanted to separate my traffic for when I'm plugging in a customer's computer, be it infected or whatever, so it's not hooked in, directly into my network. Because right now, I just kind of plug it in, and it's like, and there you go. So,
right. I heard Martin when he started using them. I think he started using them a couple of months ago. I've been using these for about a year.
Okay.
I've got 5 clients on them now. And I like these better than the Ubiquiti and the Cisco Meraki because you don't have to purchase a controller to go with them.
Okay.
Everything is basically from the cloud. And what I like about the Open Mesh is that, let me find, I've got some here. The ones that I use, this is how big they are.
Whoa. For those that can't see, it's like a credit card size device.
Yeah,
it's a little thicker.
It fits in the palm of your hand. they do have one that's bigger that they just introduced that's about the size of a Frisbee, meant for outdoor. But these, you know, they can just simply sit anywhere. They do make enclosures for them. So if you want to hide them, you know, in a ceiling or something like that. But they have.
Oh, so you're not just supposed to put them up and up on top of the ceiling tiles?
Yeah.
Not saying that I've ever done that before. I'm just saying I have heard that people sometimes will do that.
Yeah. But to your point about putting stuff on the network, you've got two ports on these. You know, a lot of your wireless access points will come with four ports or whatever. These will come with two, and basically one is, you know, to either connect a cable to get this connection. You can do power over Ethernet with these, and then you can actually program a second port so that if you plug a notebook into it, it can either connect on the private side or the public side.
Very nice.
So you can still keep your devices separate, your customers' systems separate.
Okay.
With that. And the other thing is, too, you only have to worry about logging into one place if you want to change the password.
Right.
Okay. Whereas, you know, with a lot of the ones that I used to set up, you used to have to log into each and every access point to change it. With this, you go to the website, change it. Within literally 2 minutes, it's changed on all of them. They're all synced up and good to go.
So I can basically bring that into my office environment, let's say, and then the second port on that, I could hook a switch to it or whatever and plug my customer's computers directly into that. And the way I would have it set up is it would be that side would be on a private network away from my regular stuff.
Yes. And it would have that network isolation so that the two shall never meet.
Very nice. Okay. That's good to know. Now, what do those run? Do you know off the top of your head?
These are basically about $100.
Oh, that's cheap.
I think they run $95 on the website, and then they come without the power adapter because they are power over Ethernet enabled.
Okay.
And then you just buy the power AC adapter separately.
Okay.
I've only set up one device as power over Ethernet, but I did just recently, I think about 2 weeks ago, I set up my first where I plugged it in, but I did not attach it to a cable.
Okay.
And because it was close enough to the other access points, that's what creates the mesh network. It basically is an amplifier for the SSID.
Oh, okay.
So it works as an extender amplifier.
Okay.
And so you don't need to have wires everywhere for the open mesh devices.
Very nice. Okay. Good to know.
Yep.
Very good. All right. So what else? So we're talking about tools. We're talking about networks and different things that people can do. And, you know, one of the things you said is, you know, investing in tools is not always a bad thing. And a lot of times, I think we have to justify our businesses and where we're at or where we're going. You know, sometimes you got to spend a little bit of money in the business in order to make money. I know they always say, you know, you got to spend money to make money. And there is some truth to that because, you know, yes, you know, a person like you was able to start your business and get away with, you know, just not having any advertisements, but having word of mouth referral 100%. And there's a lot of businesses like that. And that's great. I've run my business totally from 60% of my revenue comes in from basically advertisements. And, you know, I only use the Google AdWords, but that's partially because I'm running out of my house and I'm more on the residential side than I am in the business side. So that just kind of works for me. But, you know, there's still things that I've invested in over the years to make my job easier. You know, I don't want to sit there and try to, you know, figure things out manually all the time when I can have a tool that just goes, hey, here's what's going on. You know, I've got my inexpensive, you know, basically network cable tester where I can hook one end into, you know, a wall socket and hook another end in, you know, over at the switch end and figure out whether the cable's good or bad. But that's about as far as I go.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, the other thing too is investing, you know, I am big in investing in tools. but I am still really big on making sure you understand the technology, the logic behind the tools. When I had techs, which I don't have anymore, but I did have a couple techs working for me, and I would give them my tools to go out and work. And, you know, it helped them, obviously, to do some stuff faster, but it still didn't help them do their job better because the best way to say this, I had one tech that it didn't matter what tools I gave him. He just never got it.
Gotcha.
And, you know, he didn't understand, you know, okay, yeah, it's telling me there's an issue, but he didn't really quite understand why.
Right.
And that was a hard thing to do. So one of the things that I started doing was, you know, you didn't get to use the tools until you understood what the tools did. Yes. And, just like, you know, something like D7, you know, running all those tools separately so that you understood them before you actually used D7, you know, is something that I'm a big proponent of, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Don't give a customer the ability to run CombiFix unless you can tell them what CombiFix does.
No, as Ken Dwight would say, don't use CombiFix ever.
Ever.
Especially from a consumer standpoint, because a consumer will mess it up and they won't be able to get it back. At least if I mess it up using CombiFix, I can get it back.
Yep.
Oh man.
So, but yeah, it's investing. I think I got lucky. I got a lot of businesses early.
Right.
And that helped me. And I was one of the techs. You took whatever came your way back then.
Right.
You know, and I'd drive an hour, you know, to make $40.
Yeah. You know, We've all done that. Well, you know, there are many, many different businesses out there, and everybody has figured out, not everybody, but a lot of people have figured out how to do their business well using different tactics, whether it's, you know, you're inexpensive on some things, but you're a little more, you know, up to par on other things. And, you know, or if you're mostly business, or if you're a mix of business and residential, I mean, all these things do make a significant difference in, you know, how we perceive things, you know, the area you're in and stuff like that. But I think one of the big things is I'm always learning from other technicians about their processes, how they do things, what tools they're using, because it constantly is keeping me in the game of going, okay, where do I need to go next? What's going to help me go to this next level, whether it be to break into a business, or not to literally break into a business, but, you know, to go help a business out, or, you know, even deal with my residential customers, who a lot of them are working out of their homes and dealing with their business stuff, even on a small scale at their homes. So yeah, there's a lot to be said for, you know, tools and different things, but yeah, you definitely have to get in understanding what you're doing. And I think a lot of times that's where techs are kind of losing it a little bit. I think when they're coming into the game, they're throwing a bunch of tools, you know, automated software tools at the problem, and not really understanding what that thing's checking for. And it's like, until you get to that point, you know, you can sit there and throw tools at it all day long, which I've done, and it absolutely will work. But it's like, do you really want to do that, or do you want to learn how to do those things or understand how those things actually work together and what you're actually trying to do? So a lot of times, instead of just throwing tools at it, you can figure out the problem even by, you know, manually looking at it yourself.
Well, the wisdom comes in knowing when to yes. use the tools.
That's it.
Because, yeah, it's a lot of times where, you know, the years that we have in this business, there are some things that we've learned to just be able to eyeball and know, you know, at least an area of troubleshooting, without having to, you know, throw in a tool, let it scan for 6 hours and come back and, oh, didn't find anything. What now?
Right. let me run another tool. Oh, right. That didn't find anything. What? Yeah. What? Where am I at now? Yeah, that's definitely not a place you want to be as a technician, I don't think.
No, I'm glad I was never there.
So what other things do you have going on in your business right now? I mean, you know, you said you deal with law firms and different things like that, and you know, you've got these tools and stuff, and you didn't, if I remember correctly talking to you before, you didn't always have this highest end tool. You had some lower end tools that you basically had started off with when you started using them, right?
Yeah, I actually, to be honest, the first tool I got, well, let me go back, because I did always try to buy, you know, we all buy the network testers, you know, right, for cable testers, you know, and I was always doing that. I purchased a portable hard drive duplicator. That was probably the first tool that I really spent some money on. I spent about $1,000 on that back in the day, and man, I was so sweating on that, thinking, did I just spend too much money? But I did it so that I could go out to a business and duplicate a hard drive on site,
right?
Without having to bring the whole system back. And, you know, I mean, it still took about the same amount of time as the free tools, because back then it was, you know, C-Tools or the Western Digital, duplicator tool, all those software tools that we, you know, download from the manufacturer. And those were the only ones I used back in the day.
Okay.
But I went and got the portable one because I could use it here and I can use it out in the field. And it still took about the same amount of time, but it was just so much nicer to not have to cart a machine back or anything like that. So that's where I first started doing it. And then what really got me going on the tools was I remember always having to argue with the cable companies as to whether or not a cable was good.
Oh.
And I had bought a little tester and it basically just told me, you know, pairs green or red.
Right.
And, you know, they would have the similar type of tool. And then it got to be where, yeah, it told me the pairs were green and it was good, but something just wasn't right. So I remember, and it was a body shop of all places, that I finally got to the point where I said, you know what, I just can't be doing this. I found a tool, again, another $1,000. But I took the tool over, and it basically gave me the results, and the tests were good for 10 base T speed, 100 speed, but not for gigabit.
Oh, okay.
And that's where we were having the trouble, was we would put the station up and it would work for a little bit and then die. And so I was trying to diagnose it as a hardware issue or a machine issue, but I couldn't find an issue with it. And I'm like, it's got to be the cable. And the guy would come and test the cable. No, it's not the cable. And then I'd be looking, okay, well, maybe it's the switch. Well, maybe it's, you know, the port.
Right.
Or, you know, and, you know, it was 2 days of me going back and forth, and I finally got this tool, hooked it over, found out it was a gigabit speed issue, and said, okay. And I was so happy because this tool allowed me to print out the sheet that I could just simply hand it to him and say, here's your problem, fix it.
Nice.
And he had nothing to say.
Right.
So that was one of the things that got me on this tool kick of, I had spent years, you know, not being able to defend, you know, my troubleshooting skills to somebody else because we weren't talking the same language.
Right.
And so I just got a nice cable tester. So that one wasn't a Fluke, but then I upgraded to a Fluke one later. But I had gotten I was doing something with another tech. We were partnering on a project, and it was similar to this one touch that I got where we were trying to analyze the network. And I had found online where I could rent a tool to analyze networks. So I rented it, and I said, I got to get me one of these. And I went and got a used one.
Okay.
And I used the used one for a while, and I said, you know what, I just got to do these things.
Right.
And so, you know, everyone that came out, I kind of looked at and, you know, I mean, it wasn't like I just went out and started buying tools.
Right.
I basically, you know, made sure, did my research. Is this one going to help me? The last one that I got that I really love was the Fluke Etherscope, which is the predecessor to the OneTouch AT. And it did a lot of the same things where it would go out and scan the network and tell you all the devices and path analysis and all of that stuff. And that was great. And that was used $3,000.
Woo. Okay.
But it was so nice because when I started getting the big clients, I could walk in and do these types of analysis and not have to be there all day chasing cable, looking at machines, stuff like that.
Right. So that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So you don't have to necessarily spend the big daddy money, but you can start off, and that's a good point. There are probably people who, like yourself, who have moved up from tool to tool to tool that basically are going to sell something used.
Yep.
And you can get probably a pretty good discount on that. So that's a good idea.
Yeah, I did that for my first few sets of tools and just, you know, got the used one. But now I'm at the point where I'm like, you know what? I want the new. I want the warranty.
Right.
With the other tool, I've had that one probably 6 years.
Okay.
And I actually got to the point where every other year I would pay to send it back to Fluke to get it calibrated, get it cleaned up and make sure it was working. You know, I mean, I don't want to tell people how much I spent just to do that every other year, but you know, but it's so paid for itself.
Right.
By being able to cut down on my diagnostic and troubleshooting time.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Definitely something that, something for people to think about. You know, when you're, there's a lot of people that are doing business environments, you know, even from small, medium to large businesses. And this could actually be beneficial to what they do. And I'm excited because I want one of those things now. I have no need for one, but I want one.
Well, I can tell you this too. The other thing I loved about it is I've got technicians in the area who they won't go out and get these tools themselves, but they call me when they need the tools.
Right. That's a good point because you're going to still get paid for going out and diagnosing that network for another tech because you're going to save them time. They're going to pay for your hourly wage and, go on from there. It maybe even a little bit more.
Well, at that point, yeah, I do have another story. One of my companions, I've known him 15 years and we basically both do the same thing and we just partner up on projects when they come available. And, you know, if I'm out of town, I need a backup. I call him. If he's out of town, he calls me.
Gotcha.
He had spent a day at a client in a similar situation where he had found a duplicate DHCP server and spent a day trying to figure it out and basically called me and said, I need you and your tools.
Wow.
And I said, okay. And he basically said, look, I've told the people that they're going to pay to have you come in with your tools.
Gotcha.
I mean, he had actually set it up so that I could come in and basically charge my full premium rate because, you know, he's charging just as much as I am and couldn't figure it out. And he explained to them, he's going to come in with tools. He's going to find it. And, you know, we got to pay.
Right.
And I went in and it was something where they were actually doing construction and it was a hotel. And somewhere in the building, when they hooked everything back up, there was a DHCP server out there, which he figured was a router.
Okay.
But he could not find it. So I went out with my tool, and it wasn't this one. It was the Etherscope. And we plugged it in, and I identified what it was, where it was. And then I had my cable tester, because once we figured out what we had to do was basically, because he didn't have, you know, the layer 2 switches, But there was a network of switches throughout this hotel. So we basically went to the starting point and figured out, okay, well, it's on this cable. Now, where does this cable go? And I could hook up my Flute cable IQ and say, okay, it's 86 feet that way.
Wow.
And so then we went over to there, and it's another switch.
Okay.
And so then we went through those switches, and I was like, okay, it's 60 feet that way. And so we went into that. It was another room. It was like a bar room or whatever. And he's like, I've been in here. It's not here. And I said, it's here. And we took about 5 minutes to go through and try to trace cables up through the ceiling and stuff. And basically behind this little hutch on the bar was a D-Link router that had fallen back behind there. And somebody had plugged in the WAN port onto this network and was screwing up the network.
Why would somebody just randomly plug it in? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, we found out it was the construction guys. They didn't know.
Oh, because they're like, oh, hey, we knocked this off. Yeah, we better plug this back in.
Well, they unplugged everything to take it apart so they could do their stuff. And then they just assumed, well, four cables went into here, so we'll just plug any four cables into any four ports. I mean, yeah, you know, it was something where if somebody had been managing that project,
right.
You know, if the tech, if he was there and had seen them take that apart, because normally I would have been the one taking all the IT stuff apart and I would have known, but he didn't know. They called him in and after the fact, and it was just funny, but it was, I mean, it took us probably about 20 minutes to go through and do that, but being able to plug in the device and say it is 86 feet this way,
right,
60 feet that way, you know, it just made it so much nicer to do that.
Nice. No, that's great. Wow. No, definitely. Tools are definitely worth having for a lot of that stuff. So, and would you say, everybody always hears of the Fluke brand. Is that one of the premium brands out there as far as, you know, networking tools and stuff go?
You know what? I think in terms of network analyzers, they probably are. Now, the way I got into them was the cable testing.
Okay.
There are other cable testers out there that are probably just as good, maybe even a little less, I would say. Fluke has gotten its name by being big in testing equipment. I mean, they do, you know, they have a lot of other equipment out there, electronic testing. You know, you'll see the guys that are out on the phone poles with a lot of Flute stuff, datacom installation tools. I mean, they've got a bunch of stuff out there. But there's a lot of others out there. Fluke, I think, is one that most techs have heard of, because I think Fluke got into the portable network analysis stuff a long, long time ago. So a lot of people know about them, but again, they're probably, I don't know. I haven't really done a whole lot of research against other brands. When I've looked at some of the others, for instance, my cable tester that I had previous to this was about the same price as the Fluke, but just didn't do as much as the Fluke.
Okay.
So I probably am a little bias in that sense, because when I did the research, you know, 10, 15 years ago, that's where I ended up, and they haven't let me down yet. So
very good. No, I remember Fluke years ago from the voltmeters. They were always top of the line for any of your mechanics. That's what they would use. Anybody was doing anything with any electronics testing.
Yeah. All the line techs.
Yep.
Had a Fluke.
Yep. So no, that's why I recognize the brand. But yeah, I know they have networking tools and stuff. It's just, you know, they're a little out of my price range at this point. So, you know.
Well, what's funny is the one that I wanted is the next step up.
And oh, wow.
When I say granddaddy, let's put it this way. Most people don't have cars that cost this much.
Wow. And what does it do for you?
Well, it does everything.
Does it plug itself in?
It pretty much, wow. I don't even know how to describe what it does. It will tell you, let's put it this way. your internet service provider probably can't give you as much information about your network traffic as the Fluke. It's called the OptiView. The OptiView XG Network Analysis Tablet.
Wow. Okay.
And we're talking about, it goes beyond network analysis. It actually does application analysis. And it'll tell you what data is on your network.
Wow. Okay.
That's what I want. I want to be able to walk into one of my firms and say, okay, you want to know why you're so slow today? It's because that station is on YouTube all day.
Right.
And be able to do that in just a few minutes.
Oh, that would be phenomenal. Wow. Okay. One day, right?
Yeah. One day.
Well, I'm sure, you know, obviously they make those tools because they're needed. Somebody's using them somewhere. So, you know, you definitely got to think that there's probably going to be a use case scenario. And here's the thing, you know, if you're doing a big project for something, for a business or something, a lot of times, you know, when you're going in there, hey, maybe the first couple of projects, you kind of, you know, you eat the cost a little bit and you spend some money on some tools that'll make your job easier. But then once you have that tool, you'll have it for the next project and the next project and so on and so forth. You know, that's definitely a good way to look at it.
Well, I would say look at that for everything. I mean, even when you're talking about D7.
Right.
Nynite. You know, all of the, you know, Max Focus, you know, it's going to take a little bit to get into it. But then everything else after that is just going to be a snowball.
Right.
Because you're going to be able to build on it and build on it. And that's what I've done with these Fluke stuff. I mean, I took the big plunge a while back. And the reason I did it, you know, outside of the cable issue, but when I went to the portable troubleshooting stuff, it's because I had just gotten this client, which at the time for me was huge. It was, you know, it was a law firm with 40 computers and a couple of servers.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And at that time, when we're talking back in, you know, right at 99, 2000, where I wanted to be able to walk in there and, you know, look like I knew what I was doing and had the tools to do that.
Right.
And, you know, and I did it, and it did work out, you know, luckily, because of the cost of the tools now. I mean, you know, they could put some techs out of business if, you know, if you get it early. But I just wanted to throw this out there that, you know, take your time, build up to it. And, you know, it's something where now I can walk into, you know, I walk into 100, you know, station law firms on a regular basis now. You know, they're not my clients, but somebody calls me because they got an issue.
Right.
And yeah. I can plug this in and, you know, be in and out in an hour and charge a very nice premium rate for it.
You could be that guy too. Well, and that's a good point. I mean, you know, even stuff like that where other people are having to use your service because they don't have the tools, you know, that's going to pay for itself, you know, in the long run. And eventually you're going to get to a point where it's, you know, there's profit. But yeah, even losing some profit in the beginning, I think it's still well worth it. And I used to do that when I was buying tools, you know, even like screwdriver sets and stuff like that. Or if I needed a special tool for, you know, desoldering or whatever, you know, I'd be like, well, okay, I'm not going to make anything on this power jack repair, but that's okay. But now I bought all these tools, so now that I can, every time I do a power jack repair, it's, you know, it's almost pure profit.
Yeah.
Because I've already paid for my tools with this particular client. They don't know it. You know, I'm charging my regular rate, but hey, they paid for my tools. I got it done and I'm on to the next thing. So.
Yeah. That's how I thought I would get this paid for, is I would just have one of my big clients pay for it.
There you go. Didn't you go for that?
Well, if they would pay for it, then they were like, well, why don't we just get it for ourselves? And I was like, no, I want to take it with me.
Because you don't know how to use it. That's why.
Right. Yeah.
No, that's cool.
But being able to be that guy, that was one of my, probably about 5 years ago, I forget what show I was watching. But basically, that kind of got me on this quest that, and I don't, who knows if it will ever happen or not, but it's nice to think about it. I want to be the guy that when other techs can't figure something out, that's when they call.
Right.
And it's not a matter of cost. It's not a matter of what do we got to do. It is a matter of we can't figure this out. Do what you got to do. And I can come in and charge. At the time, I was thinking if I could charge $995 to come in and troubleshoot a network, whether I was there an hour or all day.
Right.
That was a lot of money.
Sure. Sure.
You know, so that's what got me on this quest to get these particular tools is I want to be that guy that they can call and I can say, well, here's what it's going to cost. And I get those type of clients where they're like, well, that's what it's going to cost. Come on in.
Right. Well, there's a point where a technician is going to, you have a reputation to uphold, you know, as a technician. And if you can't figure something out, whether it's because you don't, not necessarily you don't know how, but it's just stumped you or you're frustrated or, you know, and you can't figure out what's going on and you don't really have the expensive tools to go in there and do it, it's well worth it to pay somebody else so that your company looks less dumb than you should. So I think it's well worth it to, you know, be able to pay somebody that's going to have the proper tool and come in, get it done. And then the other thing too, you can get in and out of there and everybody's happy. Problem solved and we're all moving on to the next project.
Yeah, that was my goal, is to be able to charge that much money, be in and out in an hour, and for them to say, he was here how long?
Right.
And we had to pay how much?
Right.
that's what you got to do. I just had thought of something too, because one of the things that you had said about, you know, companies have to be able to call somebody to figure stuff up. One of the things that saved me a few years ago, where I did have a client where we were trying to figure some stuff out, and I forget exactly the circumstance, but basically, you know, it was we were trying to figure out all these, you know, issues of, you know, on the network with slowness and I had gone in there without my tool and I had been trying to figure something out and I was there for like an hour and couldn't figure it out. And, you know, I told him, I said, well, I got to go back to my office. I got to get some stuff. And they were frustrated to the point where I said, well, do we need to call somebody else?
Okay.
And I was like, no, you don't. Trust me. I'll be back. We'll get this figured out. And I had to go back, get my tool. And if I remember correctly, it was a workstation that was spewing out, bad packets on the network and just flooding the network. And they didn't have a proper switch that would, you know, isolate out the traffic and let other stuff. But I found it. And it was basically I had to go back, get my tool, figure it out. And, you know, thank goodness, you know, I had it, you know, or else they would have called somebody else. And I'd have lost that client.
Right.
And now that client, I have them today. And, you know, they're at a point where, you know, the one guy, you know, the owner told me, as long as I'm here, you're here.
Nice. Well, and that's when you prove yourself like that, because you do have the proper tools and in the knowledge, then, you know, that's going to go a long way. And, you know, obviously that situation is proof of that.
Yeah.
So very cool. Well, is there anything that we talked about a lot of stuff today? Is there anything that any other tips you wanted to end off on?
We've touched on a bunch. You know, the power of the positive referral is huge, and that's how I've grown my business. Investing is not a dirty word. do a good job.
Right.
You know, it's really not much simpler than that. Do a good job and do what you got to do to keep your customer happy.
That's it. Very cool. Well, I appreciate that. And if people wanted to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Well, they can, my website, mbsystems.net, email address is marvin@mbsystems.net. And, if you see me in the chats, I'm MB Systems Inc.
Very cool.
And, that's pretty much it.
Good. Well, thanks for coming out and sharing with us today all the information that you had. I'm excited about, in the future, getting some new tools. I love, we're guys, right? We love, I'm sure gals do too, but we love our tools.
Gotta have our tools.
Gotta have them. All right. You guys can also find me on the Google Plus at Jeffrey Hallish or Twitter at TechNutPC. And if you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, please email me at podnetsdaily@podnets.com. If you want to leave a voicemail for the show, you can call 1-888-697-0162. And I want to thank our sponsor, Instant House Call, for this episode of Podnets Daily. If you need that remote support, definitely check them out. Don't forget, if you need business paperwork to get you started in your computer repair business, then check out the link for the TechNibble Computer Business Kit over at podnets.com. If you guys could do us a favor, leave us a rating and review over on iTunes. That'll help more people know about us. You guys can also help support the Podnets Network. The next time you're shopping on Amazon, go to podnets.com/Amazon. And I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnuts Daily. My name is Jeff Hallish. I am the host of Podnuts, where Chris Carruthers and myself take live calls on the air to answer questions or to get answers from other computer repair techs every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/live. Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.